Hello, it's me, Kelly Vero, welcoming you to another You Are Doing It Wrong podcast. We're in our 8th episode now, and we've got a further 7 or 8 designers of the week. So I'm interested to know from you what you think about this podcast, how it could be improved, and, you know, is it really helping you to become a better designer, innovator, or startup? Last time we talked about level design and the very basics of level design. And this time I want to talk about level design in a little bit more detail. Level design is something that is imperative to good design, but unfortunately is something which is always so overlooked. I'm going to give you a few examples today of great level design, but also I want to bring in to the conversation exploration and why exploration is such an important part of what it is that we do in game design, with everything from Mario and Zelda to Tomb Raider and Far Cry. So let's get cracking. The way I left things last time was that I wanted you within your level design to start to think about what goes in there. Too often when designers design levels, they tend to attack, excuse the pun, level design from the perspective of grey boxing or prototyping. They also attack level design from an artistic perspective. So that includes assets, props, that kind of cool stuff that goes into, you know, your common or garden game design. But I'm quite interested in the thematic elements of any level design. Previously we talked about how a map is broken down, and you can look at level design from the top down to build it from the bottom up. What I'm interested to see in level design is how designers go about planning open spaces for things such as MOBA experiences. Additionally, how natural features enhance the guided pathways for the designer and for the player, obviously, but also create very clear objectives and obstacles. It's one thing to be given a quest by some passing journeyman, but it's an entirely different thing to forge a quest through a small copse of trees where it's almost impassable, or barbed wire electrical fencing. That's not always part of the journey. Sometimes that's part of exploration. And players often in games stumble upon additional quests, additional activities that have not been issued by the narrative per se. What types of encounters lurk within a level design are also really inherent to the design that you're actually making. For example, you tend not to find in a Mario game a PvP element when you're playing on, say, the Nintendo DS, or you're doing just a single player game on the Switch. Player versus player requires a specific style of genre or a specific gameplay attribute that has not been fully addressed by the game design document often. A game designer will tell you that they want to have a PvP element in there, but they don't necessarily tell you what that should be. That often falls with the level designer and the level design team to come up with interesting opportunities. When I come to focus on game design from a narrative perspective later on, of course, I will formulate some form of explanation for why narrative is so important in a level design. But for now, let's just look at the level design itself. We're looking for artistic themes within a level design. We call these points of interest or places of interest. And basically, all they are landmarks that the player can identify within a map. Good for the designer, but great for the user experience. And we're looking for something that is fluid. So within a map square, we don't want to see a hodgepodge of stuff and things that don't really have any cognitive continuity for the player, unless it's already been described. So as an example, if you play any of the Elder Scrolls series, you tend to go from exploring the wide open spaces that they have within their sandbox and then going into a dungeon experience, which is really traditional and expected of a game of this theme and narrative. But often you're going from, in games like Skyrim, something that's really open to something that's incredibly confined. How do you make that cognitive consistency? Well, ensuring that you have a consistent art style and continuity that goes right throughout the game. You have an incredible opportunity to be able to carry that forward through your open space features and into your more confined or mod multi-user dungeon features. One of the biggest bits of advice I would give you when designing levels is don't hold back. Have a discussion with your team, or if you're working on your own as part of a tiny studio or as a single developer. Think about the types of things, first of all, that you would like to put in there. And then focus test those ideas. Don't make the assets yet. Pitch the level. Ask people what they would think about playing in a level like this. In the past, when I've worked on games, what we tend to do is sketch up really roughly what the level might look like. And actually, we use tools like SketchUp. You can use a variety of different tools. Some people, myself included, particularly enjoy using Microsoft PowerPoint tools. But you can use whatever you feel comfortable with. It's important to show a top down. It's important to break that top down into segments or areas that you want the gameplay to happen. You also, later when you come to production, need to explain what goes on in each one of those squares so that you can share that with the producer, and that will break down into assets that specific teams will need to work on if you're working in agile methodology. But for now, describe what this area looks like. Do it in bullet points. What's the path that the player will take from point A to point B in this level? And how can you best convey that? Do you have ambush points if you're doing a PvP or a MOBA? Do you have drop or loot points? Again, if you're doing any form of combat, or even if you're doing exploration. Let's not forget that some of the greatest exploration games that we've played carry a heck of a lot of drop, loot, and special items within each map square area. What are the conditions? Are there weather conditions? Is there a constant fog? Do you have a fog of war? Is it revealed as the player moves through the landscape? These are things that you need to think about as a level designer. Your lead designer, or the design team who oversee the entire game design document and what goes in it, will be the people who might have some ideas of where they want fog of war instances. But on the main, this information stays with you. You make this decision and you carry this vision. What's the end game status for this level? What happens at the end? In the case of Bethesda software, they like to work in an open environment. So the player is literally moving from area to area, either on a parallax basis or free roaming. And so therefore, the end game happens when a player moves into another area or a dungeon or a town, or they have a few dream state or alternate state realities for some of their side quests, like vampires or werewolves. So that could be a different end state. But the point of level design is that you shouldn't hold back, ever, because holding back means that you're keeping the player from really engrossing and feeling the all-encompassing vibe of what your game is about. Today is a very special day because I will be downloading Shenmue 3. It's a game that I've been waiting for a really long time. And one of the reasons why I love this game so much is that it is free roaming to the extent that the player has specific objectives in the environment that they have to achieve. It doesn't mean that they can go anywhere. In the earlier Shenmues 1 and 2, Ryo Hazuki would need to go over to Taiwan or Hong Kong or wherever it was to meet an objective. So that means that he can't just wander aimlessly through a map. It means that he is being moved consciously by the game's designer from area to area, level to level, play to play. Speaking of areas, I wanted to do a quick overview of exploration. And it's definitely something that I want to come back to. But exploration is one of the key areas of game design, which I said before is quite overlooked. It takes games into a more visceral territory. So it means that we feel a game much more when we're allowed to explore. It's not just about completing mission objectives and furthering storylines. I've spent a heck of a long time just hanging around looking for stuff in a lot of games. World of Warcraft is a fantastic example of how combat and exploration work side by side. Without this, we wouldn't have crafting. And to incentivize exploration, we as level designers and game designers, we like to put in secret quests, collectibles and Easter eggs. We like to treat you like you're real adventurers. In GameRanks.com, they did a feature recently about the 20 plus outstanding exploration video games you need to play. Some of the obvious games are in there, notably games like Far Cry, Final Fantasy XV, Yakuza, and very interestingly, Tom Clancy's The Division 2. Now, my old lead designer worked on The Division 1 and 2, and this has all the hallmarks of his incredible eye to detail in exploration-based mechanics. What I particularly like is that in The Division, you're not effectively doing a walking sim and just walking around being passive and nothing really happening. You're following a storyline, which is the Strategic Homeland Division storyline, and they're working on the means of rebuilding after the smallpox incident. If you remember, you have to work with the other multiplayers in the area to save Washington DC from falling. But what you actually get to do is explore a large open world map on a detailed facsimile, if you like, of the DC area. You'll find that there are loads of buildings to explore, and you might not know this, but in fact you probably wouldn't know this in a million years, but when we worked together on a previous game, the lead designer from The Division and myself had a really long conversation about DC Universe Online. We enjoyed playing it on the PlayStation. I think it was on the PlayStation 3. It was an awesome multiplayer game, but it never really reached its full potential. And I can't help but think when I play this game that some of those elements might have snuck into the game because it is a definite fave of me and The Division's designer. Assassin's Creed obviously is a cool exploration game where minute by minute you are pushed through the game level by level, and I'm talking about level design, not leveling up. Far Cry is so good, as is Uncharted. One of the reasons for this obviously is because a wide open map situation that is akin to Grand Theft Auto, Skyrim, even Tomb Raider gives the player an opportunity to just imbibe in the experience. And that's what gameplay is all about. Fallout 4 gets a mention, though Fallout 4 has received a heck of a lot of criticism for its gameplay, and the exploration for me as a player has been quite short-lived. I want more. Dragon Age Inquisition, what a great game. Horizon Zero Dawn, fantastic game. Monster Hunter is an exploration game. It has combat gameplay elements in it, but for the most part, if you're a cryptozoologist, this is the game for you because you have to find these buggers in the landscape. Metroid. The game that spawned a million Metroids. This is a post-apocalyptic, walking Metroidvania style sim which has a heavy emphasis on exploration. And my favourite Breath of the Wild is featured here too. Did we forget The Witcher 3? Nope, we didn't. It's definitely here. And Minecraft is a world that you have to explore to build. Followed by Skyrim, Red Dead Redemption, Resident Evil 2, Grand Theft Auto 5, Red Dead Redemption 2. Red Dead Redemption 2, which is the year's, if not the last 5 years, biggest release in my opinion, combines simulated experiences with exploration and combat. And you know, I can't help but think that this is the way forward for games, especially games that are played on consoles or in VR or AR. Go for the combat, stay for the exploration. But you know, each player is different, so you have to roll with the punches see what the player really enjoys, and ensure that you put the player at the heart of your game experience every single time. I'll definitely talk about exploration in games again, because it's so much fun to create for an exploration environment. If you have any questions about level design, how it's done, how we do it, or you have comments about how level design can be improved upon in games, don't hesitate to drop me a line, leave me a review, or share the love. So until next time, keep making and keep playing.
Thank you for listening. You can tweet Kelly at Electric Geisha. Follow Your Doing It Wrong podcast where all good pods are casted. Email Kelly at doingitwrongpod@gmail.com.